right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a new episode of the PVD Cast. Of course, I'm your host, John Orlando, and joining me today is a good friend of mine, a man that I've been friends with for many, many years, my good buddy Brian.
Oh, thank you, man. How many years? That's a good question.
That is a good question. How many years? I want to say...
I have no memory of meeting you whatsoever.
You don't?
No. What? No, wait a minute.
Well, shit. Then that goes my first question. Damn it.
No, actually, I did. I just remembered. I think it was a guy named Shaw and I myself came up to Columbus for something. And I think that's
right.
My first
yeah, because I was gonna say, and I think that somebody that many people know on this podcast, D.A. Deadly, and myself were still living over on the north end of Columbus. So I'm thinking it's like 10 years.
Yeah. It was definitely you were. Well, I remember you came to us to pick us up at the fine establishment we were staying at, which was frightening to begin with.
It's a night's inn, just say
yes, it. Was
all night's inns are shitholes. You just might as well say it.
It was frightening. You shared rooms with cockroaches. It was a little on the brutal side.
There was a lot of raping and murdering going on at that hotel, if I remember correctly.
It was very rapey. I just remember the lobby was also like a storage room. It was literally the lobby. There were just chairs stacked up in the corners and old paintings on the side of the wall. Maintenance and upkeep was not a strong point of theirs.
Okay.
But what I do remember, and I just remembered actually, is that at the time I had, this was pre-cell phone days, but I had a camera that I had just gotten film for and I'd been messing with it. And I remember that you knocked on the door and I opened the door and literally just flashed the camera, like took a picture of you as soon as you opened the door.
I do remember that
just
actually.
Just because I was being obnoxious and I had this camera.
I do remember that.
Yeah, somewhere that picture still exists of you with that. And what the fuck look on your face as the door opened and you're bashed in light from the camera. But I think that was the first time. That would have been late 2001 or 2, probably.
Yeah. I was going to say 2 or 3. That's mm-hmm. what I was thinking. I was thinking that. But yeah, I mean, and here's the weirdest part. Okay, I'm going to share the story. Is that we went to college together.
Don't remember that at all.
I do remember. Here's the thing. I've never revealed this, but I do remember because I remember you used to have class in that one, the science building, mm-hmm. like the wing. And I remember that you would come out, and I was like, hey, there's that dude with the Nine Inch Nails hat.
You know what? That's proof that you're not lying, because, yeah, I did wear a Nine Inch Nails hat all through college.
I know, and I was like, there's that dude with the Nine Inch Nails hat.
Yeah, and whenever I was asked what the N on the hat stood for, I always just said nothing, just to annoy people. Yeah, I never...
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a Nine Inch Nails. You're right. So I don't remember you being at that school whatsoever. So it was a dirty lie that you had ever been there. But, yeah, so what years were you there?
Oh, geez. You want me to reveal how old I am on my own podcast? All right.
What years you went to college doesn't reveal how old you are.
That's true. That's true. I guess you're right. I was there in 93 to 97.
Okay.
Four years. Graduated in 4 years.
I will verify that I was there some of those years. So it wasn't at the same time. I just have no memory of you being at that school whatsoever.
Well, that's all right. So, anywho, Brian's in town up here in Columbus, and I thought, why not have him on? Because I'm not going to lie to you, Brian, there were a few other folks that were wanting to come on here, but apparently they cannot return any messages or phone calls.
They only had an interest in talking about wrestling, which I know nothing about. So.
Right, which we're going to get into that in a minute. We're going to get into that in a minute. I will not fool any of my usual listeners that this may not be as heavy of a... Let me rephrase that. It will not be as much pro wrestling in this particular episode of the podcast as it has been in the last couple. But real quickly, Brian, if I may get rid of some house cleaning items.
Oh, you feel free to talk about as much pro wrestling as you want.
Okay.
And I will add like great insults like, huh, and hmm. Interesting. All right.
Anywho, first of all, I want to thank everybody who gave me great comments on the last episode. The last episode, of course, was with Hot Commodity Matt Mason. A man who retired from the sport of professional wrestling, and a lot of people had a lot of kind things to say about Matt. He's a world-class dude, and I am letting the cat out of the bag. I'm going to have Matt come back on in a few weeks because there was so much that we didn't get to cover. I mean, we went an hour and 15 minutes talking, and we didn't get a chance to cover a variety of other topics, and he wants to come back on, and we're going to have him come back on. So there you go, letting the cat out of the bag on that one.
When you retire from wrestling, do you get a 401k?
That's exactly what he said. He goes, it's just quitting. It's not really retiring. You don't get a gold watch and, you know, 401k. You're right. You just quit.
No gold singlet. No.
No. That would be sweet, though. Yeah. No. So, anyways, that's coming up. I have another great host. I can't talk sometime tonight. I don't know what the deal is.
I did buy you a beer pre-show. That might have been a mistake.
No, no. I'm completely sober. I was going to say, I have another guest that's coming up in a few weeks, too, that I'm really excited about. In fact, I'll give you a little hint. New York Times best-selling author.
Say what?
That's right. That's right. I'm going to have somebody on that's a New York Times best-selling author in a couple of weeks. But enough about that. Just want to recap real quick and kind of rant for a moment.
I don't know an author, let alone a New York Times best-selling one. That's pretty good.
Really?
Nah, I mean, I don't know anybody who's written a book. Okay. They probably have, but nothing that's been published. Oh, that's interesting. I'm curious now. You have to tell me off mic.
All right, okay.
I want to know.
When we're off air. Okay, here we go. You can chime in on this because I know you'll probably be as outraged in this rant as I will be. So, this past Saturday in Columbus, Ohio, on the 8th of June, Ring of Honor Wrestling came to the Ohio State Fairgrounds. I had tickets. I went. I've gone to many Ring of Honor events in Dayton, one in Chicago. Usually, when you buy a seat, you get a seat. And so this is part one of the Ring of Honor rant. So I show up there, and of course, Jeremy Madrox was also there with his crew. And he had decided that he was going to buy general admission tickets when he got there to the building. Fine. All right. Now, I did not. With my crew, they wanted to get ringside seats. We got second row seats, paid $40, right? We get to the venue. We go in. There's no bleachers. There's no bleachers. None. So I was, first of all, baffled by that. Secondly...
So you mean all the seats are on the floor?
Yeah, all the seats are on the floor.
Okay.
Eight rows. Eight rows of chairs on each side of the ring. As I found out from seeing Jeremy and talking to him, the last four rows were your general admission. So what the fuck was the difference between my $40 seats and the $25 seats that Jeremy bought?
A few feet!
I was really pissed about that. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then part two of this rant, to add insult to injury.
Financial injury.
Yeah. To add insult to injury. Show starts. They're typical. They're normal. They're the man you expect to see come out that curtain, ring announcer Bobby Cruz, does not come out. Hmm. Instead, an African-American fellow come out.
Okay.
Where the fuck was my phone call? I'm 15 minutes away.
Yeah, on deck. Wait,
I'm on deck, exactly. If Bobby couldn't make it, quick, ring-a-ding-ding. Hello, John.
Have you worked with these folks before?
No, oh, never. Okay, well. I mean, but that's beside the point.
It's just like saying, why wasn't I called to be an extra on The Wire? They just don't know you.
I take that. But there were other individuals there, other indie wrestling folk who are helping out, either working the door, running cable, or whatnot. So they could, hey, I know this guy. He's really good.
I'm vouching for him. Put him in the center of the ring with a mic in his hand. Let's go. Huh.
Yeah.
So you weren't on deck to be called.
No.
Is there a list? Can you put your name on a list?
I don't know. That's not how it works. Yeah. So
can you tweet them?
I could have tweeted them. I'm right. I didn't know that they needed somebody.
No.
But I give credit to the dude because I've never seen this before. Because I oftentimes am told, John, you don't use a lot of note cards when you ring announce. And that's true. I don't, because I have this almost photographic memory.
Mean Gene never used note cards. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know if that was a fact or not. I just threw it out there.
Mean Gene was an interviewer, but he never used any note cards. You're right. But Howard Finkel never did either. Anyways.
Never heard that name.
So, anywho, this guy, check this out. He didn't use note cards. He used a motherfucking iPad. Ain't that some technological shit?
So he went high tech with the ring announcing.
He did.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that. Have you ever seen that used before?
No, never. I've never.
No.
So...
He had an iPad in the middle of it, and he used it the whole time. Now, did he?
Yeah, like, well, he would scroll to find the guy's weights and that. Like, I guess he had everything programmed. So he'd go, and our next match is scheduled for one fall. And he'd, like, you know, weighing in
bust
at 200.
Out the stats.
Yeah, he'd bust out the stats from it. So I thought that was kind of innovative.
He didn't, like, badly read off of it, did he? I
don't know who the African-American fellow was, but he wore a tuxedo. I was impressed by that. The iPad, he was good. I'm not hating on that dude.
Not hating on him, you're just saying you could have done better. I got it.
No, that's not. You're putting words in my mouth there. Hey, listen, Bill O'Reilly.
That's called heat. See? I know things.
I know you do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to let everybody know right now that Brian is not an uber fan of professional wrestling, but unlike some friends, he knows more than what he lets on.
Yeah.
Because he is a man that is in the know when it comes to pop culture. So, let me just ask a question. Why? Because you and I share the bond of we love hockey, we love movies.
Big hockey fans, big film buffs.
Right.
I'm a huge film buff, but yeah.
Why not wrestling, though? I guess this is I'm going to go with this little segment for a minute. Why not wrestling? Why, as a kid, did you not gravitate towards it? Because, I mean, you like movies.
That's a dirty, filthy lie. Now, as a kid, I did. I loved it. Watched
oh, really?
Oh, big.
Okay.
It was always WWF. When I watched it, I watched the WWF. Okay. I watched Hulk Hogan, the Andre the Giant. I mean, you'll name him better than I would. Jake the Snake, the guy with the 2x4.
Jim Duggan.
Hacksaw.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I know these guys. I know that. But yeah, then somewhere around the age of 12, I discovered zombie movies, and I really never looked back. I kind of went straight into movies from there, became a real horror movie buff for a while, and then just branched out from there into all kind of movies. I mean, lately, all I've been watching is movies from the 30s and 40s, but at one time, WWF, big fan, loved it. Yeah, loved all those guys.
Okay, well, here's my question then, because this is always how I gauge how successful an OCW show is, by going to the friends and the family that show up and go, what'd you think of the show?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know they're unbiased, because I think I'm biased now because of being in the industry and being a lifelong fan. What would it take to bring you back into the fold? Like, what if XYZ Wrestling was on, what would make you go, I'm going to give this...
It did almost happen once. I remember early on at the job I have now when I started, a gentleman there named, what is it called, Gualtier, he continues and probably still is a big... I know you know him. You guys talk wrestling on the email occasionally.
Yes.
Well, I'd go over to his house occasionally and hang out, and he would insist, everything would stop, whatever time it was, 8, 9 o'clock, wrestling's on. And started watching it with him and did get caught up in the, let's see, I gotta remember some names here. Steve Austin.
Yeah, there Stone you Cold go. Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Got caught up in his storyline. He was fighting some guy in a grocery store.
Booker T.
It was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. And to this day, even though I haven't watched a lick of wrestling really since then, but I'll never forget the phrase price check on Jackass. It was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. Laughed so hard and really kind of got into it. There were a couple months there, so to me it was the storylines. I was really very entertained by the storyline between these two, and even the Vince thing. They had, Vince was a character, and
sure.
I believe somebody tried to assassinate him in his limo or something.
Tried to happen. They blew up the limo. Yep. Yeah, you didn't know if he was in there.
There was a bit there, but then it didn't carry on because I was seeing it at his house when I visited or hanging out with him. But myself, I don't have cable TV. I just don't care for cable TV. I like to just pick certain shows and watch those and not pay $80 for, 9 Christian channels and 10 QVC channels that I'll never look at. So
As a side note, I read in the newspaper that McCain, Senator McCain.
John McCain. Get off my lawn, McCain.
That's right. He is proposing that cable outlets, cable companies, allow you to pick and choose what you want.
He is the 4,051st politician to say that. It'll never happen. I mean, it would be great. I mean, it'd be wonderful, and everybody wants it, and everybody would love it, and it would cut into the cable company's profits. And they're all owned by big, Comcast owns Universal Pictures. And,
right, yeah, sure.
There's really only 3 or 4 big corporations.
Right, Time Warner Cable is part of the Time Warner AOL.
I'm amazed. I see some people's cable bills, and they're like $150 and $200. And if they let you pick the channels, those people who have these $150 bills, you could figure it couldn't be more than 40 or 50 if they even picked... tons of channels that they only wanted.
Right.
But
get rid of C-SPAN, Golf Channel, QVC.
Yeah. You'd get rid of C-SPAN, really.
I would.
But yeah,
I would keep Bounce TV, though, because
I don't know what that is. What is that?
Come on. I told you about it. It was the cable channel.
Oh, the local one.
Dolomite 2, the Human Tornado on.
I'm so fascinated with this, that there is a channel here in Columbus that would actually, and not like a national cable channel, But a local cable channel would play blaxploitation movies.
Yeah, but you could buy fantastic. Into it because my buddy that lives in D.C., mm-hmm. he has Bounce TV too. So you can just buy the package. It's kind of like one of those MeTV type of deals. So yeah, so there's probably thousands of Bounce TVs out there.
As I said, our secondary channels where I'm at, they ran Andy Griffith all day. That's it. I mean, if they ran blaxploitation movies all day, I
you'd never get anything done, would you?
They'd fork out a buck or two. Yeah, I was gonna,
you would sign up, you'd be like, Hey, cable company, I'm coming back to you.
That's amazing. There are so many more blaxploitation movies than, you know, people would even dream of.
Oh, I know.
I mean, they haven't made one for 50 years, and I still find new ones constantly.
Have you ever seen Superfly TNT?
Superfly TNT. There's three Superfly movies, aren't there? No, there's three Shaft movies. But yes. There's two Superfly. Superfly and then Superfly TNT.
Side note, one time after doing a podcast, the Marquee Mikey D and I watched Superfly TNT mm-hmm. here at my palatial estate in Westerville, and it was god awful.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, was terrible.
Most of them aren't good, but they're good because they're not good.
Right.
But then some of them aren't good, and they're just boring. Yeah, that right. happens too.
Yeah.
But Ron O'Neill, I was surprised. You know, Ron O'Neill did the Superfly movies. I had forgotten, because I hadn't watched it probably since the early to mid 80s, that Ron O'Neill was one of the bad guys in the original Red Dawn. That blew my mind. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, go back and watch Red Dawn. Superfly's one of the bad guys. He's not a Russian. He's like he plays like an Iranian or something that's helping him. Either Iranian or, you know, one of the, you know, Ron O'Neill, you can never tell what race he is. He's like five races at once. He could play a white guy, a half white guy, a black guy, an Iranian. He's just one of those dudes. But he's one of the bad guys in the original Red Dawn, which I'd completely forgot about.
And, you know, I haven't seen Red Dawn, the original one.
Never saw it.
It's been forever.
Yeah, it had been forever for me, too. And I saw they did this remake, and when I see that they've remade a movie, it makes me want to watch the original and ignore the remake, which I did. I had no desire to see Thor fight the Russians. I wanted to see a young Charlie Sheen and the big-nosed girl from Dancing... Jennifer Grey. Boy, yeah, you can give her a name if you want. But, yeah, I wanted to see her and Charlie Sheen fight the Russians, but I'd forgotten that... Superfly was one of the bad guys. It's fantastic. Yeah, so go back and watch Red Dawn again. Not horrible movie, but worth watching. It's so cheesy.
Well, anyway,
did you watch the remake? Have you seen?
I've never seen the remake either.
The Thor fighting him. That guy has a real name too. I'm sure.
Chris Hemsworth, Hemsworth.
Yeah. Didn't he have a brother? Two of them, right? There's two Hemsworth, I think, that are out there acting.
You're kidding me.
I believe so. I believe he's got a brother who's also out there doing movies.
Okay.
But, yeah, no desire to see the new Red Dawn. But go watch it again. Ron O'Neill.
All right, let's dive into some new movies, some movies that you've seen recently, since that's what our link is, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What's been some really good movies you've seen recently?
Let's see. You could say, what are some movies you've seen recently, or what are some recent movies you've seen recently? Because lately I haven't watched a lot of old movies.
That's fine. What have you enjoyed?
Last month I watched... either about 10 or 11 different movies from W.C. Fields.
Okay.
Couldn't have enjoyed them more. Very funny. Hysterical. And not only funny, but funny and also, you know, these are movies from the 30s or 40s for him. Him's mostly the late 30s and early 40s. He made a lot of movies. And the great thing about his movies were, one, they're short. He never made a movie that was over an hour and 10 minutes long. That's like the longest movie he made. He wrote them all under fake names, and it's always easy to tell because the names are like, you know, Bird Featherbottom would be the screen credit for the writer. And it's
really?
Yeah, he just made up names for the writing credit. Wrote a lot of them, starred in them, extremely funny, unbelievable, and the fun stuff to look up while watching his movies, what killed me was the phrasing and the just the things he would come up with. I noticed at least once, and sometimes twice, in every one of his movies, he would yell out, "Godfrey Daniels." And I first was here, and I'm like, well, who is Godfrey? You know, I hear something like that. I'm thinking, in the 30s, this must have been somebody that was famous, and he's just yelling at his name.
He was not the NWA World Heavyweight Champion for wrestling. He was not. I can tell you that much right now. I
didn't know Godfrey. So, you know, you look up Godfrey Daniels. It's not. It's not a person at all. It's a word he made up to get around the fact that he wasn't allowed to say goddamn.
Really?
Yeah. So that, you know, when a kid threw something at him, instead of yelling, goddamn it, you know, he would go, Godfrey Daniels. And he did that constantly. So watch these movies, and there's all these phrases that he come up with. some of them really, you know, horrible and kind of of the time. There's a lot of racism in those early movies, especially, you know, always have the sidekick. In one movie, and I do not endorse this, but he actually used the word pickaninny, which I had not heard, I think, since my grandmother back in the early 80s when she was like in her 90s. But just amazing, the culture of that time, the words that he came up with, the strange phrasing, always led me right to go to Wikipedia, to the phone, to the Google to find out, you know, what he was talking about, who are these people, what does this phrase mean that he would use. But very funny gentleman, and went through an interesting period where, like, his early movies, he played the grifter. And you'll appreciate this, because a lot of the wrestling terminology of the heat, the mark,
yeah, sure,
all that comes from the circus,
from the carnival, from
carny folk. And the first bunch of movies he made, that was his character. He was a carny. He used terms like mark, and then you see him marking the chalk on the back of somebody to show that this was a sucker. One of his early movies was called "Never Give a Sucker an Even Break," which was one of his favorite sayings. And that was it. And he made some, you know, they did well in that, but then they found that if they changed his character to, instead of being the grifter, the guy that was always in on the grift, getting over on the suckers, that he also was very funny playing the henpecked husband role. And he went into this big section of films where all of a sudden the comedy came out of the fact that he had a wife that hated him and little kids that kicked him when he was down and threw stuff at him. And he was just as funny doing that, doing the schlub as he was doing the card shark. And he was amazing. I mean, he played pool insanely well, knew all kind of card tricks, was a master juggler. So just an all-around fascinating personality. And he's one of these people where, you know, it's what
you
I
hear. You hear the name a lot. Yeah. You hear the name a lot, you know, W.C. Fields. Mm-hmm. You just don't think about it.
So. Yeah, it's what this is, right? It's like, okay, this month, I'm going to, you know, let's dive into this guy's movies. I've heard of his name so much. I'd seen a couple of his movies early on. Extremely funny. If anybody's interested in any movie of his, the one I recommend that is the funniest from beginning to end without a lull in it is called The Bank Dick, which back then is slang for detective. He was hired as a bank detective.
It's not a porn movie. No. So don't get your hopes up.
But to give you an idea, these were made, some of his movies, a few of them were made before the production code, which was, you know, when the production code came into effect in Hollywood, it changed everything. They could no longer show drinking and cheating and things like that. It created a whole moral code. But that was the fun of W.C. Fields, was he hated the moral code. He hated the production code. So it was constantly how he could work around that. And a great example is in The Bank Dick, his favorite bar is called the Black Pussy. And they use this phrase at least a dozen times in the movie. And every time they say it, it's so obvious that he is just putting that in there to be dirty and to get past the production code. Nice. But because it's the name of the bar, and they actually have the name is printed above the bar, yeah, they get away with it. They let it slide. But it amazes me that they even let that slide at this point.
Now, I will tell you this. One of your recommendations, switching gears a little bit, mm-hmm. I just watched the last weekend. You had recommended the Academy Award-winning film Network from 1976. And I'm going to tell you, people, this man knows what he's talking about when he's talking about good movies. Network was phenomenal. It was very eye-opening to this whole, I mean, when you think about it, 37 years ago almost, 36 years ago that they made this movie, and it's so telling as to exactly how our media is today. The idea of reality television shows and pushing for ratings and this idea of giant conglomerates, giant faceless corporations owning our media. It was really well done. I really dig it. And I know that it's one of your faves.
One of my top 10 of all time. Yeah. Love that movie.
What else is on that top 10 list, by the way?
I'd have to kick back and think for a minute, but I'd definitely come up with some more. Well, I've always been a huge fan of early Woody Allen movies, not the later ones so much. He's obviously, you know, the older he got, they didn't get as entertaining. But the early ones, I'm a huge fan of a movie he did in the late 70s called Manhattan, that's in black and white, that's always been on my top 10, top five. Just absolutely adore that movie. The cinematography is in black and white. It's in real Panavision widescreen. It's gorgeous. And the movie itself is funny. It's a little strangely funny now because the storyline at the time kind of mirrors something he went through later in life where he was having an affair with a much younger woman, although in Manhattan she wasn't related to him by proxy in any way.
Yeah, right, yeah, sure.
But the movie itself is perfect. Right. I love it. I love the, you know, I just love the story. I love the photography. The music is all George Gershwin, and it is fantastic. One of my favorite films.
What else is on that list? So you got Manhattan, you got Network.
You know, lately, I gotta say, I think Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's always between that and Jaws, but man, do I love Raiders even more, I think, than Jaws. It just moves so perfectly from scene to scene. It's such a great story. It's filmed just absolutely. I'm really angry because last week it was showing at a big screen about a half hour from where I live, and I missed it. I just things got in the way, and it was only one showing on a Sunday, and didn't make it out to. But it's okay because I actually had seen it on the big screen before, but it had been well over a decade. But that movie always blows, and it's hard to pick one Spielberg. It always is tough to pick a Spielberg.
Right. Sure.
But I think Raiders might be easily in that top 10. But going back, Network always been on there. Absolutely, one of the things that's so great about that is every single performance is just absolutely knocked out of the park, from Robert Duvall to Peter Finch, all the way down the line. Just everybody in that movie is so perfect. Ned Beatty, that's one of the best scenes, I think, in movies, where he describes the idea of the corporation.
And
that's what's so great about that movie, is the idea that ratings are more important than news, than facts. To me, that's what they really got right, was that, this was before CNN, before Fox, before MSNBC and all those, and that's all they are now. They are entertainment networks using news to make ratings and make entertainment, and it didn't exist. And that was Paddy Chayefsky, actually, that wrote that movie, that just predicted every single one of those. Man, it's a good question. What are in my absolute top 10? If I was standing at home in front of my collection, it would be
I'll share a couple of them that are in my top 10,
and I'll shit on them. Go ahead.
That's fine. Memento.
I enjoy Memento. I don't know that Christopher Nolan's ever done anything that that I've fallen in love with that much. I really do like, Memento is really, really good. And he's done great with the Batman movies. I really don't like, what's the magician movie he made? That movie.
Oh, The Prestige.
I like it for like an hour and 20, and then it pisses me off the last 10 minutes much because he cheats. He does a movie about magicians, and at the end of it pulls out a supernatural storyline that completely cheats the rest of the movie, and I want to love that movie. It is really good for the majority, and I love David Bowie playing Tesla, but man, does the end of that movie piss me off. He screwed it up.
Another one.
Like Inception, though. I will say that Inception was I never get tired of that.
No, it's good. Yeah, it holds up well.
It really does.
Empire Strikes Back and Star Wars A New Hope is on that. I mean, because I was a kid during
Empire,
that time.
And Empire's the best one.
And Empire is the best one. Easy. I mean, I throw in Why We Fight, which is my favorite documentary.
Love that. Yeah,
by Eugene Jarecki. I love that one. Dude, that's thrown on there.
Well, let me just say, my favorite documentary of all time, that's an easy one. The Thin Blue Line, Earl Morris. One of the best documentaries ever made. It actually saved a man's life. And I think, if you go and watch documentaries before Earl Morris made The Thin Blue Line, he didn't just make a great documentary. He actually changed the way documentaries are made. There's not a documentary, even to this day, that you see that doesn't cheat or copy, that use every technique that he invented in The Thin Blue Line, with the music, the way that he uses the camera, the way he interviews his subjects, and the way he tells the story. That's it. I mean, that's the Citizen Kane. That's why everybody loves Citizen Kane, is because all the techniques he used, people adopted and used in movies and still do now.
You know, I'm going to go see Citizen Kane in a few weeks. They're playing it at the big screen, Kappa, the Capital Area Performing Arts. I tell you about this every summer. They do their summer showcase where they show a variety of different movies from all different genres, all different time periods.
I'd love to see the schedule. What do they got showing? That's
Crap, I can go get it. It's hanging up on the refrigerator. Yeah. But Citizen Kane is showing, so I'm going to go see that. They're showing The Great Gatsby from the 1974.
The Robert Redford one.
Yes, the Robert Redford one. I'm going to go see that one. Diamonds Are Forever. Because, you know, Bond, yeah. man, you know.
And that's a Moore Bond, right? Yeah.
Yes. I believe it is a Moore Bond.
Which I like. I like the Moore. They're a little cheesy, but I love the Moore Bonds.
Yeah,
they're
fine. You know. Yeah.
Not Moonraker. Moonraker's just shit, but that's
good. Moonraker is awful.
Moonraker's really bad. Awful. Even though it's got the Jaws in it, that guy with the great teeth. It's still a horrible movie.
But he's a face in that one, isn't he?
I think so,
He's not a heel.
No. Yeah, so, he is. Yep.
Okay.
Bad movie.
So I think those are on my top 10. I'm trying to think of other ones.
Now, have you seen Citizen Kane before?
No, I've never seen
Citizen Kane. So you're telling me the first time you're seeing Citizen Kane is going to be on a big screen. That's pretty neat.
That's how I roll, man.
I'd probably seen it a dozen times, and when I got to see it on the big screen, it's, you know, that's what you got to realize, though, when people say Citizen Kane is the greatest movie ever made. It's not the greatest story ever told. It's not a funny movie. It's not an overly dramatic movie. It's all about the technique.
Well, yeah.
Every technique he uses there just hadn't existed before.
Sure, I mean, we're talking about film history, you know, Birth of a Nation.
Yeah.
Blatantly racist.
Yeah, D.W. Griffith.
D.W. Griffith, it's blatantly racist, but technically it was so sound and it blew people away about, you know, battle scenes, night...
Editing. It was editing. All about editing. With
yeah, right. Yeah. And even though it's completely blatantly racist that the KKK are the good guys and they're coming to save that
I think the
town.
Russians may have even beaten us to that. I can't remember now if Eisenstein's Battleship Potemkin was before Birth of a Nation or not, but it was the same thing where it was like the first movie that instead of just putting two people in front and filming a scene, and putting that where they actually filmed a whole bunch of stuff and then edited it together in a very exciting way.
Yeah.
Which they did in Birth of a Nation and in Battleship Potemkin as well. Both of them have really fast-paced editing, which is something that didn't really exist in the silent movie era.
No. So,
but yeah, and Citizen Kane it's famous for deep focus. You see two or three things going on in the frame at once. Famous scene where they're giving the kid away very early in the movie. Not a spoiler. And there's no such thing as a spoiler with Citizen Kane. The movie's old. I don't care that you've even seen it. But yeah, early in the movie...
Don't ruin it for me. I know some of it because, I mean, you know...
You know what Rosebud is, and that's not going to ruin anything.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah.
But yeah, earlier, you'll look for this scene. Early on, when she's giving away the kid, when she's signing away Charles Foster Kane to another family... while she's signing him away, if you look in the background and in the window, you see him, you know, playing in the snow. And it was just never done at that time to do two things at once, to have the action in the foreground, but more action going on, not only in the background, but in a whole nother environment, just outside. And he's actually, if you listen to what he's yelling outside, he's saying the union forever, which is a reference to the fact that she's breaking up the union of the family. And it's good stuff. I mean, you see ceilings is another thing you never saw in a movie until Citizen Kane. There's a lot of ceilings. Like, you know, they dug holes into the floor to film up at people
so that you
could see that they were in real rooms, that these weren't sets that had just been made. But that's neat that you've never seen it and you're going to see it on a big screen.
On the big screen. I'd say another movie that was, because it's also a favorite book of mine, was I thoroughly enjoy To Kill a Mockingbird.
I mean,
every time that I watch it, I thoroughly enjoy it.
Gregory Peck? That's a Gregory Peck.
Yeah, that wasn't a very bad Gregory Peck. But anyways, so that's another one that's on my list, I guess.
Spoiler, no Mockingbird in that movie.
No, none. Weird.
That was the first movie of Robert Duvall, though. The first movie Robert Duvall ever appeared in.
Because he was Boo Radley.
Robert Duvall. We mentioned him in Network, and he was very young Robert Duvall in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
I can't remember who directed that movie right now.
I don't remember who directed it either.
Don't remember. I've seen it a couple times, but not one that's in my library at the moment.
How about this? Best wrestling-themed movie you've ever seen. Ha-ha.
Rewatched The Wrestler recently, and it held up really well.
Yeah, The Wrestler is one hell of a movie.
Held up a lot. I was surprised.
Here's the rule of thumb again. As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode of the PVD cast, I have friends that have nothing to do with pro wrestling, have never watched it.
Mm-hmm.
But even they have watched The Wrestler and go, that was just a damn good movie. I mean, it didn't matter that he was a wrestler. I mean, it was a damn good movie. I think that's probably... I mean, that's gotta be. Unless you count... They Live.
Suburban Commando?
No, not Suburban Commando. You know which one?
Pulled that out. How about that? That was Hulk Hogan,
right? No Holds Barred.
No Holds Barred.
Yeah.
Hogan did a lot of movies, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. There's Suburban Commando, and then there was like all the different Suburban, like I think there was Three Ninjas.
The direct-to-video 15 sequels that he did, I'm sure.
And then he did No Holds Barred, which was absolutely awful. And there was a scene that was in that movie, No Holds Barred, that when you look back at it and you watch it, you're like, it's a little rapey. It's a little uncomfortable to watch.
Now, No Holds Barred was a WWE movie, though, right? Was it all?
Yeah. I think Vince...
This was their first big foray into, we're going to put it. Something into the theater and see if we can make some...
And now they just go direct to DVD because they're smarter that way. They're like, who wants to watch Ted DiBiase be a Marine? Yeah. No one. We'll just put it on DVD.
Oh, they had to have made 15 times more much money doing the DVD wrestling titles than they ever did putting them in the movies.
Right. I'm gonna go with the wrestler. I think is good. Although They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper is a phenomenal movie.
That's not a wrestling
movie. Well, I mean, exactly. I was gonna say you would split. You would say, well, no, that's not really a wrestling movie.
But it has a hell of a wrestling scene in it.
It does.
Everybody loves the alley scene, and they redid that in South Park, didn't they? There was a South Park episode where they literally redid it. Just punch for punch,
between Jimmy and Timmy. I
didn't remember that. Yeah, that's great. I remember watching it, going, "This is really familiar. Yeah. I've seen this somewhere before."
Now I will tell you this: Body Slam, terrible movie. Never seen that. That was freaking awful.
Is Rocky III a wrestling movie? Because
no.
Isn't there a wrestler in there?
Yeah, well, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that was he.
That's what gave him the breakthrough. That's when Vince was like, "Haha, I'm going to pick him. He's going to be the flagship for my
dude." He was in Rocky before he was in wrestling?
No, he had actually wrestled, timeline, late 70s, he was wrestling in Florida as a bad guy. He actually came to the WWF in 1980 as a bad guy, took on Andre the Giant in a series of matches. He was managed by Classy Freddie Blassie.
It's a Tampa guy, right?
Yeah,
he's from the Tampa area.
He was from Tampa. And then he kind of started working some of the territories in Memphis, and then in the AWA scooped him up and made him a super face. And the AWA was going to put the belt on him, but then he had left to go do, I think, Rocky III, and that's when Vince was starting to do his, I'm going to take everything over, and Hogan was going to be the flagship.
So Hogan was in Rocky III. Which one was Mr. T in?
Rocky III.
He was in Rocky III as well. As you can tell, I've seen Rocky I a whole bunch of times, but the other ones not so much.
Rocky III, I think Thunderlips, as he was known as, Hulk Hogan, was only in the first, half hour of the movie, 20 minutes, and then it's all about Clubber Lang.
Yeah.
I'll put it fool.
That's
okay. I'll put it fool.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do remember Rocky IV a lot, though. I don't know why. I think when I was a kid that played on TV a lot.
Because it was Ivan Drago, wasn't it?
I remember a lot of this. I remember the robot in the movie, and Ivan Drago, and I Will Break You. But I didn't remember who was in Thor. Mr. T was in one of those.
As a side note,
Body Slam was a movie.
Body Slam was a movie. It was with Roddy Piper was in it, the Tonga Kid. Dirk Benedict was the main star. If you remember him from the A-Team and Battlestar Galactica.
Nah, name's escaping me. That's a great bad guy name, though. Dirk Benedict.
Yeah, he was the actor that was in the movie. I've never seen there's another movie called The Wrestler from the 70s that Vern Gagne helped to produce, I believe. And Dusty Rhodes is in it, a bunch of AWA people.
Yeah, when it comes to the set, there has to be more wrestling movies from the 70s that we just haven't gotten our hands
on. There's the best one. I remember this one because I saw it on TV once. The Lover. I don't even know if that's what it's called, but Henry Winkler was in it.
Nice.
And I remember watching it, and so Henry Winkler was an out-of-work actor, and he stumbled into professional wrestling. And he became known as Randolph Hitner, which was supposed to be, I need to see this movie now. So he's the evil German Nazi.
Yeah.
Randolph Hitner, I believe, was his name.
And Henry Winkler played that
character. And then he got so tired of being booed that he decided to come out as the Lover. And he was like a gorgeous George. He had the powdered blonde wig, and he would give roses to the women and that. And I think it's called, I don't remember what it's called.
Oh, believe me, I'll be looking it up shortly after we're finished. I need to see this.
It was pretty cheesy, man.
And by the way, as an aside, the greatest piece of acting Henry Winkler's ever done, and I'm not even joking, is Night Shift. If you've ever gone back and watched Night Shift, he's hilarious in that movie, and he's so against type. He's not playing the cool guy. He is the nebbish, the nerd, the backwards.
And you know what? I've never seen that.
It's such a good
movie. I was never
allowed
because it's a little racy, isn't it?
Well, yeah. When we were growing up, that was definitely at a time when we were too young to watch it. And it's one that just recently, in the last couple of years, that I've said, check that out. And he is really funny in it. And Michael Keaton is the cool guy.
Right,
Michael Keaton is fantastic. In fact, I believe that's Michael Keaton's first big Hollywood movie. Might be his first movie ever.
Yeah.
But directed by Ron Howard, who, you know, is still out there making huge movies these days. But that's a great one. Go back and look at Night Shift again. Shelley Duvall. But Henry Winkler's very funny in that movie. But I would love to see him as a wrestler, a Hitler wrestler. I need to see that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll be searching that.
Yeah, I don't... I think.
But I just know that wrestling was so big in the South, and there were so many drive-in movies, you know, movies that never got full distribution, like, all over the U.S., but played in drive-ins in the South, that I gotta believe that there's some big subgenre of wrestling movies that
did you ever watch that documentary Memphis Heat?
Loved it. Yeah,
it was really good.
Watched it on your recommendation and enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, it was really good. I thoroughly liked it. You know, I thought the ending was a little clunky, you know, just because it wasn't historically accurate. But I mean, you know, you're telling the story, I guess you can do as you damn well please.
Yeah, right? Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
when it's your story, you look a little better than you might have in real life.
Right. But, you know.
I love the whole Andy Kaufman thing, so I enjoyed that. Whole angle. And there wasn't a bit of footage of that I hadn't already previously seen of the Andy Kaufman era, but fun to see it retold again from their perspective as, you know, this guy from Hollywood coming in. But that was really good. Memphis City Heat. I definitely recommend
Memphis Heat
that.
Was a good fun. Good documentary. Really good. Is there anything you're looking forward to seeing? Because I know you want to see Man of Steel.
Looking forward to the Superman movie. I like Zack Snyder. I've enjoyed a lot of people shit on him, but I really do like his. I like his style. I like the flicks he made. We talked about this recently. I just love The Watchmen. I think he did a really good job with it. I think too many of the comic fans, you know, pissed on him for this change or that change. There's no giant squid!
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Loved it. Loved his movie version of Watchmen. Look forward to Man of Steel. So, yeah, really looking forward to that. Want to see This Is the End. That looks like a lot of fun. It looks like it's bringing the funny. And
how about the Lone Ranger?
You know what? It's one of those things where you hear about it, you're like, I'm looking at that. That sounds like crap. And then you see the trailer and you're like, you bastards, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It got me. I was
exactly.
I was seeing something else in the theater and the trailer plays. And by the end of the trailer, I'm like, yeah, all right, you got me. You got my money.
Most definitely.
I'll have to be checking that out because it looks great. I don't even know who is that guy playing the Lone Ranger.
Isn't it Johnny Depp?
No, Johnny Depp's Tonto.
Oh, that's right.
Johnny Depp's got the dead bird on his head. Tonto. But the guy playing the Lone Ranger, I don't know him. Usually the big tentpole summer movies like that, it's a star, you know, that you've heard of to play the main character. But Army is his name, I think. Army Hammer. That's it. I don't know him. I don't know if you knew him from some other movie.
No, I don't know. I don't know Army Hammer.
I'd have to,
I bet IMDb. That's not his real name. I bet his name is like Irving Bartowski. Irving
Schwartz Bartowski.
My name is Irving Bartowski.
Army Hammer does sound like it's a made-up name.
Yeah, like Vin Diesel.
But at the same time.
It sounds like it's his work name, you know?
Did you hear about the spoiler at the end of... And I'll
Fast
say that,
of the Furious
yes,
6?
I have not seen a single Fast and the Furious movie. Not a second of any of them. But on several other podcasts, I've heard people talk about the spoiler. You know, the
well,
ending.
Wait, should we let people wait? You might want to turn your volumes down.
I just wondered if you had heard it.
Haven't heard it. Yeah, you can reveal it, but just maybe turn your volume down for a minute. I don't want to ruin it for other people. What's the spoiler?
Apparently, at the very end of the movie. Seconds before the credits crawl, you know, they're in their cars, because I think they live in their cars in these movies, but one of them rolls down the window because some other noisy, fast car comes up, and it's Chris Chelios, it's the transporter. It's, what's his name? Yes!
Wait, whoa, no,
time out. Those two different characters.
Crank!
Yes, that.
Chelios, not Christian.
No, the driver. What movie did he play the driver in?
That was the transporter.
The transporter. He did three of them.
Yeah, he did three of them. So Tom...
To be fair, one of the podcasts I listened to called him Chelios drives up. But yeah, it's Jason Statham is really... You need to know is that Jason
Statham...
But he's
the character of the transporter.
Of the transporter drives up and like rolls his window down. And, you know, I don't know what that means. I guess
I'll be honest. I saw the first transporter.
I've seen them all. I don't remember anything about them, but I watched all three of them one day.
You gotta go in. I mean, this is the way I look at it with Jason Statham movies. You just go in going, okay, it's gonna be thin on the plot.
Yes.
He's gonna beat some people's asses.
Probably gonna be a chick in her underwear at some point.
Yeah, right.
It always is.
Right.
Transport 2 is like some bad girl. She was in her underwear the whole movie.
Yeah, exactly. Although Crank is the fucking worst film ever.
Not even
Crank 2. Even fucking worse.
But I think that was bad on purpose, though, wasn't it? The second one?
I don't know.
I mean, it's so bad that I think it's got to be bad on purpose.
That's when you started going Chelios. I'm like, what? They're going, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the transporter guy. I guess
so. Transporter, okay.
But that's neat that they took the driver.
I also, by the way, just to be a dick, I like how you threw in Chris Chelios was the transporter guy.
Yeah.
No, Chris Chelios played for the Blackhawks.
Really? Yeah, yeah. There was, yeah, that's right.
Chris Chelios.
That's another guy. So what was his name in the Crank movies?
Chelios. That's all you know.
Just Chelios. He has no other name.
Yeah, no, I don't
know. There's got to be another name in there. John Chelios.
But Chris Chelios was the Hall of Famer NHL player that played for the Chicago, Montreal, and Detroit.
I've now ruined the ending of Fast and Furious 6 for you. Jason Statham shows up. I don't care. I've never seen a second of them, but I did think that that was neat that they brought a character from
that is
a completely other movie series.
Yeah, that would be cool. For a minute, I'm not going to make this up. I'm telling you exactly what went through my head when you started who showed up. I was so hoping it was Speed Racer.
That would be neat.
That would have been badass. I'm like, oh, please tell me it's Speed Racer. Please tell me... Please tell me it's Emil Hirsch and he pulls up in the Mach 5.
Kit, yeah, one of the some other driving thing.
Kit would be awesome. Knight Rider would be sweet.
He can promise you this, they're not done making them. That movie made a butt ton of money, the most recent
Jesus
Fast
Christ.
And Furious. So they're not nearly done. There'll be six more. And,
I'm sure there will be.
And yeah, I'm sure by the end of it, Kit.
But you know what? Good for Vin
Kirby
Diesel.
Will be in the eighth one, I'm sure by then.
And who?
Kirby.
Oh, Kirby. I thought you said Kirby. I'm going to say, what, the Nintendo character?
Nah,
what?
Cubert?
Anyways.
What am I also looking forward to? You mentioned another movie last night that I was looking forward to seeing, and now I don't remember
what it
was.
It wasn't Aroused.
Oh, World War Z, which, yeah.
Yes. Anyway. That.
WWZ.
Yeah. You're looking forward to that one because you like the fact that they actually got the zombies correct.
I think so. Well, I mean, they got it. No, they didn't get them correct we all know in real life, zombies don't run, they walk. We know that. George Romero told us this and has always kept it that. They don't run. So, yeah, from what I've seen in the trailers, they don't get that right. I just like that they got the numbers. I'm always interested in the... That was what got me about the book World War Z, was that it was the numbers. It was 1,000,000 to 1. I mean, it wasn't 12 people and maybe 20 or 30 zombies at a time. But
and now that you mention that, though, you know, I'm a big Walking Dead fan. You do see that. There's not, like, millions of them. There's
no,
like
they did
sparsal.
It. That's what pissed me off. They did it at the end of the end of the second season, where they showed a horde coming together. Remember, there was opening scene where you saw 2, and then 3, and then 5, and then 12, and then all of a sudden the farmhouse was overrun with zombies, and they had to leave. But ever since then, you've never seen more than 3 zombies at a time together, which
true.
Is a bummer. In the comic books, there's always hordes. There's constant hordes in the comic book.
Right.
And
tell you, I just scored I think issues 1 through 40.
That's big money. Those are worth a lot right now. I mean, it's like the stock. You know, they go up and down. But right now, that title's at a big high. It's
I know. I need to read them. As you can see, I have a lot of reading to do.
You do.
It's sometimes depressing. Can I just tell you that? I come in here, I go, fuck. I have a whole one giant box full of trade paperbacks to read.
Less time running in place at the gym and more time sitting at home
reading. No, try to be healthy.
That's the way it works. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this World War Z. I think it's, by all better judgment, I'm looking forward to it. I know it's going to suck. I know it's PG-13. Go fuck yourself. That's just a joke. And, it's a big Hollywood movie. But, I'm going to go see it. I like zombies, and I like the trailer where it looks like there's 1 billion of them to a few people. It's pretty neat. Global scale. I like that, too.
All right, and let's as I'm looking at the time here, let's start wrapping up with our other passion. Hockey.
We just had 2 big signings. Yeah, that's
right. Are you happy about Coach Bielsma coming back for the Pittsburgh Penguins?
I think I am. You know, I was convinced they were going to get rid of him. I was convinced that that Dan was gone, that he had gone, you know, 1 too many postseasons without anything to show for, which this had been the 3rd one in a row.
Yeah, the third one in a row. The thing that always irked me was everybody would show online his record in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who, you know what? Check out any other coaches. They have comparable playoff records because the playoffs are fucking tough.
Yeah, and when you look at his record from the regular season, he's probably one of the top 5 right now.
Yeah,
he's got an amazing record in the regular season.
Oh, most definitely.
So, yeah, I was convinced he was gone, so when I heard they're keeping him around, I like it. You know, I'm happy. He's not a bad coach. He is, you know, they had, 17 wins in a row last season at one point. You know, he can coach. It's a good team. I don't have any explanation for what has happened these past 2 postseasons, 3 postseasons. it's as strange as it gets. You know, we got bounced sure. out of the first round a couple times, and this was one of the biggest meltdowns I've ever seen.
And then today, Geno Malkin gets re-signed.
Big Geno, yeah. Didn't, you know, that didn't shock me at all. Knew he was going to get re-signed. Was curious as to, you know, where it was going to fall in with the money or how long they were going to wait. You know, I thought maybe another month.
Sure.
We'd hear something. You know, everybody about, oh, it's going to be an interesting offseason. Well, you know, so far it's going quick. Yeah. Not very fast. But then again, the offseason will be fast. Seems like hockey, because of this thing, by the time the Stanley Cup's over, it'll be like 60 days and...
Yeah,
and time for warm-ups.
Time for warm-ups again, training camps open and whatnot, so.
Yeah, be fast.
All right, well, as I'm going to start to wrap things up here.
And I'm about to go on IMDb and find out what movie Henry Winkler played
because I have Orlando's faves to talk about.
Do it.
I have three faves right here.
Going to Winkler's filmography.
All right, you interrupt when you find that out. Okay, first, I have three things, ladies and gentlemen, that I'd like to talk about in my Orlando's faves. The first one is something that we've talked a lot about, movies, and it's cityofsinworld.com. Now, this website is operated by David Paul Baker. He's a filmmaker from Scotland. He's made a couple of different short films, and he has them here on his website. But I stumbled across him on Kickstarter, where he is trying, Brian, to do a movie a month.
Yeah, I like this
over
idea.
Over the next couple, I think it's over this year. And I think that's really, really cool. So he's on Kickstarter. He's looking to try to get... some funding for it, so... Sorry, I think we found it.
You did? Heroes?
No, I think the one and only.
Andy Schmidt?
Check that one out. I think that's it. The one and only.
You said it was called The Lover.
I was completely wrong.
You're about as wrong as my Chris Chelios comment.
Yes.
Andy Schmidt last year, Taking It Easy. See, I don't think... Oh, wait a minute. You might be right now that I'm looking at it. That does look like... that does look like it might be... directed by Carl Reiner. That's no small name. Go ahead with your thing.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, so, I'm sorry. Terrible, terrible. Anyway, so, cityofsinworld.com, David Paul Baker, he's trying to make one film per month, short films, so definitely check that out. I think that's a unique thing, and I, you know, again, he's an independent filmmaker, as I've said many times before on this podcast. I like to support independent things, no matter what it is, independent comics, independent wrestling, independent television, radio, whatever, so check out cityofsinworld.com. All right, so that's number one. My second Orlando's faves is another thing that I found on YouTube, thanks to a friend of mine. The series is called The Most Popular Girls in School. And it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. Very short. A couple episodes are three minutes, excuse me. A couple of them are 5 minutes. A couple of them are 9 minutes. But it pokes fun at popular girls and popular guys in high school. And it's all done with Barbie dolls. But it's hilarious. They're very well written, very well filmed. I definitely get on YouTube, check out The Most Popular Girls in School. I think there's like 26 episodes or something right now. And the last Orlando's faves, I'm very happy, Brian. I am not a big fan of reality TV show, but my favorite reality TV show is back on the air, Ice Road Truckers!
IRT. I actually, you know, I don't do very many... you know, it's weird. I'll sit here and say, I don't do too many of the reality shows, but the truth is, I think I do watch, I think I've seen every Pawn Stars. I like the American Pickers. Pretty much anything with old stuff in it I like, but I probably have watched the last 4 or 5 seasons of Ice Road Truckers and always have enjoyed it, even though it is the most duplicitously edited show I've seen in my life.
The
more camera trickery, fakery, and outright lies in that show, but... The personalities are great. You gotta love the polar bear.
And I also find it interesting that they massive amounts of freight is moved in this way. You know, I'm with you. I don't believe anyone's ever gonna die on this show. You know, even though they hype it up, that oh my god, leave
the best thing is the camera shot of the tires rolling over ice from underneath, as if you're to believe that a scuba diver went under the into the ice under the road and is filming the truck go over. It's absolutely ridiculous, but the sound effects they layer are really, I mean, they give you the tension.
It
is a lot of trickery, but it is entertaining. And I'm a sucker for Canadian accents. They're always funny, and everybody on that show has the greatest Canadian accents.
Have you watched
accents.
This season yet?
I have
because here's some drama. Yeah. Here's some drama. I don't know, did you hear?
No, I haven't.
You started his own trucking company to compete with Mark. Remember the guy in Winnipeg?
Yep.
Yeah. So now they're competing, and their offices are right next door to one another, right down the street.
Lisa wasn't on last season.
No, but she's on this one. Yeah,
she is back.
She's part of Team Polar. Her, Alex, and Daryl.
Yeah, I guess I don't watch very many reality shows, but I need to know, is Lisa back on this season?
Yeah.
I'm full of shit. The Henry Winkler movie that we talked about earlier is called The One and Only, 1978.
Okay.
Directed by the amazing Carl Reiner. You know, he's one of a great director.
All right. What was is the synopsis correct?
Your synopsis was it says getting a job after college turns out harder than he expected. Most directors take offense at his free interpretation of his roles. Desperate, he tries in wrestling. To avoid getting beaten up, he stages the fights and incidentally invents show wrestling.
Yeah.
So I guess that's one of the themes, is that he invents the fact that, before he was involved, it was it was real. Guys were up there just beating the snot at each other, and then he came up with the idea of, hey, why don't we make this entertaining and like that, but... I had never heard of that movie. I will now be hunting it down. Apparently, it has been released on DVD.
Nice.
Which doesn't surprise me, because if it was directed by Carl Reiner, it's got to be out there at some point. It's Carl Reiner, still alive, still out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, great director.
All right, well, folks, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. You can get in touch with me via email at pvdcast@mail.com. You can tweet me if you want at pvdmvp. Ryan, you have anything you want to shill?
No, I'm good.
You're good?
I was just happy to be here, happy to hang out.
You don't want to tell anybody where they can get in touch with you. You hate the American public, so you don't want them to touch you at all.
I closed a Facebook account 4 years ago.
I just made a very bad joke there. You don't want the American public to touch you at all. I should have said keep in touch with you.
Yeah, you can touch. I don't have a Facebook account. I haven't used Twitter in years. I use Google Plus occasionally. There's a classic film forum on there, and I do talk with folks on there about old movies. Google Plus, classic movies is the community, and I'm on there as Lemmy Caution.
You know,
hanging out, having fun.
All right. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to this somewhat different edition of the PVD.
We mentioned wrestling.
We did. We fit it in as much as possible. You got it. All right. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening, and I'll talk at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.